just going to close it. Case is number 2007-1184, Akazawa and Palmcrest Incorporated against Lincoln Technology International. Mr. Trojan.
Please, the court. My name is Joseph Trojan. I'm counsel for the appellants. When a person dies without a will, it is common throughout the United States and also in Japan that their property is transferred by operation of law to their heirs. There is no administrator. This case is about whether Section 261 of the Patent Act requires that there in fact be an administrator if there is a patent being transferred in the state. There is no such exception to impose upon the probate codes of the United States, or of all the different states, by the Patent Act. The plain language of the statute should make that clear. It says that patents shall be assignable in law by an instrument in writing. Assignable means capable of being assigned. Doesn't mean it's required. If Congress had intended that every transfer of patent should be in writing, then it could have said simply that, not assignable, that all transfers of patents shall be in writing. That's not what this statute says. And it would, and to impose that requirement is to require that there be an administrator appointed in every case in which there's an intestate transfer of property where under the state probate code, there would be no need for an administrator, it would automatically go to the heirs. This ruling below requires that people not look at their state probate code, but they also look to the patent statute and then go through the additional step of assigning an administrator to transfer that patent to the heirs. There has never been a case before that has imposed that kind of requirement. It does not exist. For example, in California law, under probate code section 13500, it specifically says that when there's an intestate transfer, there's no dispute about who the heirs are, that there is no need for administration. There's just simply a transfer by operation of law.
It seems to me that there may be a whole host of different ways in which properties such as patents may be transferred by operation of law other than by assignment. For example, where there's a corporate succession, or perhaps a resolution of a marital estate or something of that sort. And that the difficulty I'm having with the district court's analysis and the district court's decision is that the district court seemed to me to equate direct transfers with assignments, therefore read the statute as covering all means of transfer, even transfers by operation of law.
That's correct. And that was simply an error of law to equate all transfers of patents as assignments, because they're simply not. There's even another example is there was a case in which the transfer was, there was an agreement that any future patents that developed as a result of a joint venture technology agreement would be the property of one of the members of the joint venture. In that particular case, the court held that there was no need for there to be any assignment by operation of law under the agreement pursuant to the contract. The transfer of that patent, that technology was later developed, went to the member of the joint venture who had that right under the joint venture agreement. So clearly, that's not required. One of the distinctions that that they've been trying to draw is somehow that in the district court seem to become confused about is in some of these other settings, there is some writing that needs to reflect what the intent of the parties are. Well, under intestacy law, it's assumed that the intent, it's irrebuttable assumption that the person who died intended for their heirs under the probate code to receive their property. Because if they didn't have it, if they wanted to alter the assignment of the inheritance of their property, then they could have had a will to do that. They didn't. And so clearly in this case, Yasumasa Akazawa intended that his wife, Hitomi Akazawa, and their daughters, Fumi and Yuki, should receive that property. And because that is how it's set up under Japanese law. They have the same kind of system where, under their law, half goes to the wife and half goes to the remaining children. So each of his daughters received 25% of the patent. They assigned it to the mother. The mother then assigned, when she had her whole interest, then assigned it to Yasumasa's brother. And so now, and so he had standing. That assignment is recorded. Not only is it in writing, it is also recorded. So that those other assignments aren't in dispute. The only thing that they dispute is whether we could look to Japanese intestacy law to say it occurred by operation of law. How did the district court get around that problem? The district court looked to cases from the 1800s, two cases from the 1800s. Those would have been Dahl and Shaw, both from 1884, for the proposition under the facts of those cases, the title vested with the administrator. Well, in 1884, there may very well have been an administrator, but under Japanese law, unless there's a dispute as to who the heirs are, there isn't going to be an administrator. It automatically vests. It says it transfers at the moment of death.
If there was no evidence, was there Japanese law? Was it accepted by the district court that Japanese law would apply in terms of inheritance?
The court below felt that it was unnecessary to address that issue because the court said that Japanese law could decide who was to receive the property, but it could not decide the manner of the transfer. That you had to look to Section 261 to decide the manner of the transfer, and that gets into the confusion the district court had in applying this, saying that an intestacy conveyance.
Is that also a question of the local law as to what manner of transfer can pass title of personal property or real property or whatever quasi?
I think that's absolutely correct, Your Honor. That is absolutely true.
So if we were to agree that the district court was wrong, it still has to come back for the consideration of Japanese law?
No.
As to whether the transfer was to these beneficiaries?
No, we...
Or that does it have to go back also to determine whether there was or in reality an administrator? There seems to be some conflict. Later testimony as to whether there was a real administrator in the Japanese.
So, the attorney for the family describes his role in his declaration as being an informal administrator in the first paragraph of his declaration. In the second paragraph of his declaration, he makes it clear that he had no independent authority to transfer anything under Japanese law. No title invested in him. As a result of that, he was just assisting the family in organizing their affairs. So he didn't have a role as an administrator under that would be appointed by a court under Japanese law. He was just assisting them with knowing that they wanted ultimately for this property to be transferred over to the brother.
And I gather that there was no debate as to who would receive the property under whatever law. But I think the only question is whether there had to be something in writing that presumably would be recorded in the patent office. Is that what would happen with such a document?
That's correct. That in fact, the appellee admitted at the district court level that yes, Japanese law would control who received the property, and that there wasn't a question about that. Their only contention was whether it had to be in writing.
And for that, as I recall, the district court said, does it matter whether the Japanese law would require such an inheritance to be recorded in writing, that it's the United States law that applies because this is a United States patent being sued on a United States court? Is that the reason?
I think essentially that is the reason. And that's simply error because Yasumasa Akazawa was a Japanese citizen and it's clear that his property should be transferred in accordance with his own country's laws, even though it is an American piece of property, sure, but it still has all the attributes of personal property. And so if you buy something in another country and you bring it back to the United States, you don't look to the law of the property, you look to the law of the person to decide how their property is transferred upon their death.
The court seems to indicate that there is a difference in the evidence as to whether the attorney was a formal administrator or an informal administrator. There was a formal administration of the estate. Is it your position you still wouldn't need a transfer document?
I think the only evidence in the record was that it was transferred by operation of law, regardless of the lawyer's role. The lawyer was just trying to facilitate.
No, but the court says that there's a difference in the evidence as to whether the estate was administered or not administered.
I don't think that that's a disputed fact that can be in dispute. I think that the court, this really is an issue of law based upon the facts that have been developed by both sides that can be decided at this level.
So you would say that it goes to the heirs by operation of law, then in any event, whether the estate was administered or not?
Yes, I don't think that there's. I think that the fact that the lawyer said this transferred to them and that I was not an administrator.
The court indicates there's some conflict as to whether it was actually administered or whether he was just doing it.
I'm unclear as to why the court viewed it that way because I think it may be a disagreement over reading the declaration. But the same
thing. This is something we can't resolve here. I'm trying to find out if it was administered, whether your position is any different. Would a transfer document then be required by the administrator to perform the administration?
I'm not prepared to answer that question. I'm sorry. I just can't tell you.
Then your position would have to go back to the court to resolve that question.
Possibly, but I think that it's really we're all looking at the same piece of evidence, and on a de novo review of the summary judgment motion, the court can look at that own evidence. I don't think there's any confusion about the fact that even though the court below may have said there's a conflict in the record, I think this court can look at that and decide for itself whether there really is any conflict. Because I don't see one, and I disagree with the district court that there was any kind of conflict like that. I would like to
see it from the other side.
Good afternoon. I'd like to say it's an honor to be here, first of all. This is the court that many of us as registered practitioners hold in a very high pedestal. And I didn't think that I'd ever be here, but here I am. I think Mr. Trojan covered the issues well. To answer Judge Archer's question right off the bat, from our position, would be that if there is an administrator, there has to be an assignment in writing, without doubt. And moreover, and based on the record...
What makes you say that?
Well,
Doesn't that depend on Japanese law?
Well, no, sir, I do not think it depends on Japanese law. There are, to the extent that Japanese law will not conflict with United States patent law, that's fine. But in this case, I think we have a potential conflict from the standpoint that patent law, because patents are a creation of Congress.
Well, if you look at the patent law, section 154, it's a grant of property.
It is a grant of property with certain characteristics.
To the heirs, as well as to the inventor.
Well, to the heirs as well as to the inventor, but I think case law has established that the change...
Or assigns. An assignment different than a grant to the inventor and the heirs?
Is an assignment different than a grant to the inventor and the heirs? Yes, sir. I would say that an assignment is different than a grant.
So maybe 261 only applies to assignments.
Well, I don't think that that is an unreasonable position to take, that 261 applies to an assignment. But the situation that we have here, Mr. Trojan's arguing that operation of law transfers it directly to the heirs, and yet there seems to be an undisputed position that there was an estate. And if there is an estate, and the appellant's position is that operation of law moves that patent law into the heirs, that is in conflict with the way that patent law treats patents, the characteristics of patents, they must be assigned.
Well, where is the estate? This is really confusing. The patent is granted to the inventor, his heirs, and his sons. So there we are. Whether or not there's, well, once you die, you leave an estate. You can have a generalized estate or the formalities of an executor or an appointed administrator. Now, the fact that this administrator says that he was not a formal administrator suggests that there wasn't enough property to fuss with, and therefore there was no court appointed administrator. That seems to be what he was trying to tell us in his affidavit when he says he has no authority to execute property transfers because you can't transfer property unless it's vested in you, unless you're appointed by the court or whatever it is. The estate is not vested in the administrator.
I would also quickly point out that there are actually two declarations by Mr. Nagata, and both clearly reference the estate. And the first one is a declaration indicating that he is the administrator of the estate. And in the briefs, there is reference to an estate. If we have an estate, and we're trying to move from the estate to the heirs, that has to be done in writing. I can analogize to, similar to what the court did with, I believe it's section 46 of the Patent Act, that specifically mentions that if an applicant for a patent dies before the patent is issued, the right to prosecute that patent goes to the administrator or the executor of the will in trust for the heirs or the legatees of the will.
If there's a will.
If there's a will, if there's not a will, to the administrator. Specifically says that in the Patent Act.
The administrator, however, also is a formalized structure with the judicial intervention. You can't just turn up
and well, how does one reconcile that with a legal system that purports to have a methodology where there is no administrator? Are we then adjusting American patent law, which governs the creation of an American instrument, defining legal rights to fit Japanese law?
The patent statute says to the inventor, heirs, and assigns. And there's a good deal in the briefs about the copyright law, an analogy to copyright. So the criticism that I interrupted you from raising would not apply at all in copyright. And so why shouldn't it be different for patents?
Well, I think that because patents, they are a unique creation, they're a contract with the United States government.
So is a copyright.
So is a copyright, different, admittedly a different section of the law. When we're trying to define how to assign a patent, we're not going to look at copyright law. And when, you know, obviously the analogy that I used earlier with Section 46 of the Patent Act, I mean, I can't just pick that up and transport that over to a registration or an application for registration for a copyright in the same way. I agree that there's similarities there, but I don't think the similarities are so strong as to prevent United States patent law from controlling when there's an apparent conflict with foreign law.
What do you make of 261 that says it's assignable instead of must be assigned?
I think that is a, based on the case law, that seems to be more a function of the antiquated language that was used back in the 1800s to me. If you look at the case law, it's clear that if you're assigning a patent, the assignment must be in writing. That appears over and over, it's in the briefs. In depth. I don't think that playing with the language in that, in this instance, gets us anywhere.
Isn't 261 akin to a statute of frauds in a real estate context, so that if you attempt to convey a piece of real property, the statute of frauds requires that it be in writing?
Sure.
That doesn't mean that all transfers need be in writing. There can be other conveyances by operation of law that do not require a writing. Isn't that the same here?
I would agree with that, but I don't think it's necessarily applicable on these facts. Again, we have an estate. That seems to be clear. Whether Mr. Nagata was the administrator, whether the family court of Japan was an administrator, I don't know. As the district court said, it doesn't matter who the administrator was. Yeah.
Well, they said it didn't matter because there was no writing. So the district court required there to be a writing, regardless of what Japanese law might provide. Isn't that an overly broad reading of 261 to cover all conveyances, whether they're by operation of law or other?
I do think it is an overly broad reading of 261, but I don't think it solves the issue in this case. The question in this case.
Well, is there always an estate when a person dies? I mean, an estate really is a creation of probate law, to have some entity to administer if it has to be administered. In many instances now, there's no administration is required.
So
and there can't be any administrator to assign, say, a patent over to the.
So my question to that would be, are you saying that there's no one that has any sort of enforceable duties or obligations to the ultimate heirs of the estate? I don't necessarily agree that there wouldn't be someone. I know what you're saying. Texas, there are some provisions within Texas law that the smallest estate administration.
Don't have to be administered.
My question would be, under the Patent Act, are you adjusting the Patent Act to fit state law, or are you adjusting state law to fit the patent?
Does the Patent Act really require a document assigning patent in that case, where the patent law says the grant is to the inventor and his heirs or assigns?
So would we simply strike all of the phraseology in the Patent Act that references administrators?
Well, I think you could make a distinction between transfer to the heirs by operation of law, these assignment, because it's a different, it's an or.
Sure, I understand what you're saying. I will revert back to the fact that in this case, it seems clear based on the record that there was a mistake.
The only reference in the Patent Act is this one, to grant it to the inventors, heirs, and sons. There's nothing about administrators or
the states. The provision allowing, there is a provision that allows continued prosecution of applications currently before the patent
trial. Yes, it allows it, but in terms of the grant, because I can see if there was an argument as to who inherited this patent, that one would say, how do we know what the inventor had in mind? We need to figure it out according to the laws of intestacy, whatever, but there is no such issue here. So aren't we making it overly complicated? It doesn't seem as if one way or another the defendant can avoid being the defendant in a lawsuit if, in fact, we affirm that there has to be something or other written. It might well be that these heirs would have to go to an appropriate court in Japan and get an administrator, or whatever the correct word is under Japanese law, of whatever this intestate left behind to convert it into a piece of property and transfer it. This might be time consuming and expensive, but it doesn't seem to be anything other than a burden, unless it's required by the statute.
Well, I mean, that's certainly something that the plaintiffs in the case could do. And if you're saying that there's no difference, I would encourage the court to take that position. Let me point out one quick thing. There is an article in the Japanese Civil Code that states that where there are two or more successors, the family court must appoint from among them an administrator of the estate. And that was before the court. But here, in this case, we have one wife, one widow and his two daughters. Clearly, it seems that the Japanese civil code should apply, and the family court should appoint an administrator from the estate. Again, we're talking about administrators in the estate. I understand that in certain specific instances, you could make an argument that operation of law transfers directly to the heirs. I don't believe that this is one of those instances.
So if we were to agree lower court was wrong, we'd have to send it back to the lower court to apply Japanese law.
I do think that much is clear.
Yes, sir. And you keep saying there is an estate. I refer back to the court's opinion, which it says the first, I got affidavit indicates there is an estate, whereas the second, they got affidavit says this was only an informal estate.
But which,
no formal.
Right, which the court still considered in its opinion. And ultimately.
No, the court really didn't decide which it was.
No, well, it decided that it wasn't relevant.
Yes.
That's true. Yes, sir.
Okay. Any more questions?
Thank you, Mr. Paul. Thank you, Your Honor. With respect to the question of whether it needs to go back for determination of the Japanese law, the addendum to our opening brief, starting at 0013, has a section on the Japanese code itself translated. So the court here can apply and rule on issues of law and appeal. And specifically, I would point to the court article 896, and it states, a successor succeeds as from the time of the commencement of the succession. That's it, ADV 18. And so the question becomes, what is the time of commencement of succession? Because that's the moment at which the successor succeeds. Well, that's defined at Article 882 of the Japanese Code, and it says succession commences by reason of death. So at the moment of death, when his plane crashed, his wife and children succeeded. And so therefore, that's why there was, the administrator had no role in it. Even if there was later an administrator, the prop to just formalize, not formalize things, but just to organize things for them, they had the transfer already occurred by operation of Japanese law. So there's no need to remand for consideration of Japanese law. Thank you.
All rise. This honorable court is adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m.